that Jesus said he was going to be betrayed. I just pointed out the thing about the argument about who would be the greatest. He had pointed out that he would be denied. He was in the garden, and what Dwight read, the agony of the praying, not my will, but thine be done. And then the thing that added to that was they didn't somehow the heaviness, the significance of the hour didn't grip them because they were sleeping. And he said, couldn't you watch with me 1 hour? And Peter, in the strength of the flesh, was going to defend his Lord. And so he got out his sword. And then Jesus had to rebuke him and say, put it away. Then Peter denied him. The rooster crowed and Jesus looked at him. And then we find them hitting him and saying, prophesy who hit you. And we find false witnesses while he was before the high priest. And you know, while it might be easy for us to think, oh, well, these things just could roll off of him like water off a duck's back, and maybe to some extent it did, and yet he went through all of these things. They were falsely accusing him. Then Pilate had him scourged, and that is a terrible, horrible beating. Herod and his men mocked him. The soldiers made a crown of thorns and put it on his head. He carried his cross until he fell. And then he was crucified. And crucified means he was nailed to the cross. And then while he was up there on the cross, he saw them taking and dividing his clothes. And the fact that his clothing was there means that he was in the shame of exposure, nakedness. One of the thieves railed on him. The chief priests walked by and mocked him. The scribes and the elders said he saved others, but he can't save himself. Those who passed by reviled him. But you know, I think the greatest of all of these things that Jesus went through was when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And there had to be some kind of separation for him to be able to die. Now, I'd like to look briefly at several different scriptures. I think I will just turn to 1 Corinthians 11 and at least read a bit of what we find there. He was correcting them for some things that were happening. And he said in verse 20, for ye come together therefore into one place. This is not to eat the Lord's Supper, for in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and drink in, or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. And then the familiar wording, very similar to what we read already. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink in remembrance of me. And I think maybe it is only in this passage that it actually records, this do in remembrance of me, for both the cup and the bread. And then in verse 26, notice it's kind of twofold. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death until he comes. So what is this service about today? It's about remembering. It is about remembering what he did for us back then, but it says you do show the Lord's death till he come. So it's also remembering that it is for a period of time and that he will come again. And then there will be another transition. There will be another change. It's not the change from Passover to the Lord's Supper, but it's a change and a transition to the the life that will be forever. Now, quickly reading several passages that are, maybe I should just say it this way, they are to be experienced and not simply to be understood intellectually. They had a hard time understanding what Jesus meant when he was talking to them in John chapter 6. And I'm impressed with John 6 and with Romans 6, how many times life, living, appears. John 6:51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread which I shall give is my flesh, which shall I give for the life of the world. And they're saying, how can this man give his flesh to eat? And then Jesus says the things that they find hard to accept. 53, verily, verily, I say unto you, eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. He shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. And dropping down to 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? And then here's the key. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. His words are made alive and illuminated by the Holy Spirit. Just quickly yet, Romans chapter 6. By the death of Christ and his resurrection, there is a hope for me. There is a hope for you. There is the fact that, it bears it out here. We do not have to be, we're not destined to be slaves to sin. Something happened at Calvary that we died with him. That breaks the power of sin over us. Verses 3 and 4. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized in Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And then here is the verse. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Something happened at the cross on that day that makes it possible that we do not need to serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And it's not a matter of how I feel about it and whether it seems like I just can't be victorious. The issue is, do I take God at his word in what he says here? And that I was crucified with Christ, and so that in dying with him, I can live victoriously. One last passage yet. In 1 Peter 2, or 3 rather. Here, the verse that I had just made passing reference to in Luke was, I think maybe the wording there was the Son of Man goeth as it is determined. And in Matthew it says that is written of him, but woe to that man by whom he's been betrayed. It would better for that man to not have been born. Well, in 1 Peter 3, it makes it clear, and from other passages we know it, that it was God's will that Christ suffered. But I don't have time to go into this, but just mentioning in passing, how is it that it could be God's will for Christ, but not God's will for Judas to betray him? You see, God takes what people do, and he accomplishes his purpose. God takes wrong and accomplishes his purpose. And God has called us to, in the same attitude, accept the things that come our way, whether it's people that bring it our way, whether it's circumstances. In the same spirit, I think we accept whatever comes to us beyond our control in the spirit that Christ did. Here it says in verse 20, for what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also has suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. So set it in your hearts and in your minds that whatever comes your way, accept it in the spirit that Christ accepted what they did to him. You remember he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So they were doing wrong to him. Otherwise, he wouldn't have prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But at the same time, it was God's will for him. So that's an example for us that we should follow his steps. And so when wrong comes our way, receive it in the spirit in which Christ received it at his death. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Well, we're here today to remember what the Lord Jesus has done for us, and to, in a sense, say thank you for dying for me. Thank you for giving me life. Thank you that I do not have to be overcome by sin, but that I can be victorious. Let's kneel. Thank you, Father, for what the Lord Jesus has done. Thank you for the way to open up the way to you. So as we eat the bread, take up the cup, it's a reminder of what he has done for us. And so we just ask your blessing in the rest of the service, that it might be meaningful to each one of us. We pray it in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Brother Oren. Certainly it was an appropriate subject to look at, to remember. And it is true that we gather this morning to remember the death and suffering of our Lord, the atonement he made for us. And it's also true that we remember some other things. And as we remember our own our own need, remembering his sacrifice, it becomes even more real. And I appreciate the way Brother Oren has led us. So as we partake of the emblems this morning, may the Lord remind us of not just our need, but of his provisions. Let's sing a couple of verses, or so verses, Lyle, as you will, just as I am. While we make final preparations, could the ushers bring forward a mic, please, for us? Let's stand together. As has been mentioned numerous times this morning, we've been called together to remember, and that our Lord provided when he enjoined us to do this, he provided symbols whereby we remember his broken body and his shed blood. This morning, we remember that before he then died, he gave this bread to his disciples. He said, "This is my broken body. Eat of it and remember me." Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you this morning for the ample provisions that you have made through the blood of Jesus and through his broken body. And this morning, we stand unworthy before you on the one hand, unworthy of your kindness and of your grace and of your goodness. And on the other hand, Lord, we stand worthy of receiving your salvation as we bend our hearts, as we repent of our sins, and as we ourselves are broken before you. As our Lord demonstrated a brokenness in his body through death, may we demonstrate a brokenness in spirit as we receive and as we hear you and as we live our lives to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's reverently remember our Lord as we do this bread. Our Father, again, we pause to thank you for this moment. But we thank you for the moment in history that this moment symbolizes, that moment that where your Son completed the plan that you and he had devised for our salvation. And we want to receive this gift in brokenness and humility. May you be honored. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, that same night before Jesus was betrayed, he took the cup and he said, "This is the New Testament in my blood. Drink ye of it in remembrance of me." Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord Jesus, we pause just now remembering that there was a night that you gave your life, that your body was broken, and that your blood was shed on our behalf. And we just recognize that this is the culmination of a huge sacrifice that you made to come to live among us. You did it to defeat the enemy, and you did it to provide life for us. We receive this cup today as symbolic of that shed blood, the blood that has cleansed us, that has washed us, that has washed our sins and made us whole. May we receive it with gratitude. Amen. Shall we bow yet once more? Lord Jesus, as we have again taken of these emblems that remind us of your suffering and of your broken body, just pray that each one of us can lead our lives in brokenness, in humility, that typify or that exemplify the brokenness or a piece of the brokenness that you had when you gave your life. We thank you for the blood that has redeemed us and has washed us clean. May we walk in life, in newness of life, as though truly you have been cleaned and cleared of our past life. Direct the further moments of this service for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I think I'd just like to ask several of the brothers to share a few words, and as we prepare for the foot washing service, I'm going to invite Brother Arlen and Brother Laverne and Julian to add a few words of comment if you'd like to.
I believe it was in Exodus that that Orrin, where Orrin was reading this morning, that I noticed the 7-day special ceremony. There was no work for 7 days except the basics, and only unleavened bread and a few other things like that. And I was pondering that and thinking, you know, comparing that with the way we remember the Lord's death, and then I had this. Then I, my mind went to a time recently where I was reliving some deep pain and deep struggles that I had had, and they had been, you know, some time in the past, but. The reliving of it just brought up this well of deep emotion for me, and I don't really have anything, you know, anything profound about that. It's just that I'm realizing that somewhere, when we really understand, when we grasp, I guess, the suffering, the deep pain that Jesus experienced for us, there will be that comparison, that similarity between reliving our own deep pain and so the remembrance is it's a command. I don't understand it, but it's a command.
Well, certainly it is good to remember. So grateful for what God has done. And I just resonated very much with the concluding words of his message, where Warren said, just thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. I'm just grateful for both the depth and the breadth of this message and for what it means.
Well, I too appreciated the emphasis of Oren taking us to the Old Testament and us seeing the connections, and yet, you know, how Christ did bring a new focus, and yet it's so connected to the old. I just remember a number of years ago how much healing it brings, and I think this is some of what Arlen was talking about, healing it brings for us as humans in our times of struggle and disappointment, how healing it is to know that Christ understands. And I mean, he understands, and yet when we compare what we've gone through to what he did, I don't think that any of us can say that we've gone through what he did, but it is so healing to know that anything, the deepest things that we ever go through, are not deeper than what he went through, and yet there's so much healing that can happen, at least it has for me, when I recognize that Jesus understands that, and he cares about that. Because he also went through something very deep, the suffering and the death that he went through for our sakes. And in that, I know that's a little different focus than the redemption that he brings, and yet I think it's included in the redemption. The redemption of more than just our sin. It's also areas of our life that are very key to us as well. Amen to the message.
Hearing these brothers speak just reminds me that our Lord also remembers his sacrifice. He hasn't forgotten that. And one wonders what he thinks of when he thinks back of that sacrifice. But the one thing that he knows is that he bought through that is he bought relationship with us. And there comes a day that we all look forward to when we will be reunited with him in person in a way that we don't understand now. That will, I guess I'm exulting in the fact that our Lord is pleased that he gave his life and his blood
to rescue you and me. And he loves the relationship that we provide. And may we be faithful in providing that relationship. But this time we will begin with the foot washing service. And Brother Lyle will begin with leading us in some songs.
What it took to get us to rejoice together. In John 13, we have this note. Now before the feast of the Passover, so evidently before they had the symbols, they had this that was demonstrated and another of the symbols of the Bible. When Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from his world, this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, You shall never wash my feet. Did he feel unworthy, maybe? Jesus answered him, If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him, therefore he said, You are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them.
Formality at communion, that is to take up an alms offering. I'd like to read to you a scripture, four verses from Matthew chapter 6 that tell us about our attitudes in giving. Verse 1 through 4 of Matthew 6, Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Verily I say unto you that they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. These are the instructions, an injunction from our Lord himself, who knew better than any one of us do what it means to live selflessly. And he is saying here that if our giving is intended to bring glory to ourselves, we miss the blessing. In fact, he says, quite simply, he says that otherwise you have no reward from your Father unless we do that, are giving that way. So as we lift our alms offering today, it's just a reminder that we do it in humility and not to be seen of men, but rather to give it to our Lord. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity of giving to the work of the church. Thank you for the ways that the church can help when there are special needs among us, and even outside of our doors. But we just pray a special blessing on those who administrate the alms fund, on Brother Laverne and the Deacon Committee, and pray that you would guide them in the decisions that they make. Again, we thank you for providing abundantly for us. We want to give cheerfully, remembering that all we have, after all, belongs to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and thank you, Lyle, for leading the singing up front here during the foot washing service. I think it was a little more spirited than sometimes. I appreciate that. Well, we have had in the past several months, the blessing of having Arthur's and Ellis's families among us. And we are grateful for that. We're grateful for the work they're doing. I think, Arthur, if I remember right, your family has been in El Salvador for some 20 years now. Is that right? 26 years. And Brother Ellis, you and your family in Bangladesh now for 6. And it has been a gift to have both of you among us, your families. And this week marks their departure. I think Arthur, you leave on Tuesday and Ellis is on Wednesday, is that correct? May God go with you as you go with him and keep you. There is a Calvary Bible School cleanup scheduled for November the 12th through the 14th, and there is a need for about 45 people. They don't all have to come from here, but some ought to come from here if we can. And so there'll be, there's an announcement on the bulletin board, and well, it'll get there anyhow. And so I'm not sure how that'll be organized. Do we have a point person to contact here? I didn't think of doing that beforehand, but Laverne offers to do that. So if you can help with cleanup at Calvary Bible School on the 12th through the 14th of November, contact Laverne. There is on the bulletin board an announcement about CASP opportunities for 2013. And so you young men in particular may want to take note of that, and I'm not so sure what there might be some room for some young ladies for cooking, but I guess you'll have to talk to CASP people about that, the committee. Today, the feasibility committee would like to have your ballots back on the question of site preference for the school. And I think, Brother Gary, you said you printed some extra ballots that are back there in case you failed to bring yours. Is it next Sunday, Lyle, that is the last Sunday that you are that you'll be taking orders for special extra copies of Hymns of the Church? They're getting ready to put that order together. So if you want, remember you had some forms in your mailboxes. Fill those out and return them to the right place, wherever that is. Tentative baptism date is scheduled for 2 weeks from today, and we'd like to meet this afternoon with those in the instruction class at 4 o'clock. Virginia Comley continues to gain, I understand, but certainly appreciates our prayers. Let's remember Virginia as she convalesces, and that the Lord could heal her heart as well as her body. What announcements do you have?
Some time ago, I made an announcement here of a Daniel Yoder who had manifested himself in Arkansas, saying that his parents, presumably Amish, were killed in an accident when he was 5 years old. It piqued a good bit of interest among some people. Harley Wagler actually researched this from the Hoxie newspaper for that year. He found no evidence of that. The budget carried a note that was supposed to bring a response of people who might know. And there was one response that indicated that there was a person that probably was this Daniel Yoder, as he called himself, because of the different places he had lived. However, the story really does fall flat. We believe he was a fabricator and is propagating something that he enjoys talking about that never happened.
Next Sunday's Sunday school lesson is Psalm 50 and 51.
I'd just like to bring some greetings. I'd also like to thank you for your prayers and praise God for his safety and travels and his blessings on our visit. Heinrich and his wife Olga send greetings, as well as Daniel and his wife. And also Abigail and her family. And then some of those you might not know, but some of you might know them. Lionel and Frank also send their greetings and heartfelt love.
I have several announcements. First of all, yesterday at the auction, we made over $700 for Rosine, so thank you for your support in that. Also, the youth retreat is next weekend, so just ask for your prayers and also for the speakers as they prepare. And the parents of the youth are invited to join us on Sunday evening at 7 o'clock. And please bring sides and desserts. We'll provide pulled pork sandwiches. And for tonight, the singing is at Josh's house, and we're having it outside, so bring lawn chairs and also... He said to mention to make sure you wear shoes because there's some thorns around in his house. I mean, outside his house, I assume. And songbooks will be provided. And also just a reminder that this is the last night to sign up for retreat, so keep that in mind.
Heavenly Father, we're deeply grateful for the way that you've ministered to us. Thank you for the thought that Jesus remembers his pain, but he did it because of us and that he anticipates being with us in glory. I pray that we would live lives that would reflect your character and that we would make wise choices this week. Thank you again for Jesus' death on the cross and what that means for us. And that makes possible our victory over sin. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.